share this little song. You've heard me do this before.
Stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel.
with a loud voice on high. They got happy because God said victory was assured. And when God said victory is assured, victory is assured. Master, we thank you, God, for this evening. We thank you, God, for the word that you placed in my spirit for this hour. Oh, God, I need your help. I need the anointing, Lord, to deliver this message as you would have me to deliver it. Lord, we're going to be sending this message out to people all over the globe, all over the world. And there's life-changing truth in this message tonight. And God, we're believing you to set the captive free. We're believing you, God, today to break the bondage and break the bonds over people's spiritual hands tonight as they hear this message and understand just who you are and who they are in relationship to you. Oh, God, help us tonight, God. We want to do this message justice. Help us tonight, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I mentioned a moment ago that we hear all kinds of teachings. We hear all kinds of doctrines and dogmas that come from pulpits and teachers and preachers and television personalities. And I've got news for you. In my humble opinion, half of the dinglings on television are not preachers. They're television personalities. And there's the difference. Because a television personality like Kathy Lee Gifford and like Regis Philbin, they're seeking to be liked by everybody. They're trying to entertain and amuse. But their job is not to declare, thus saith the Lord. I'll tell you, when you preach, thus saith the Lord, sometimes you'll say things that'll rock the boat till you think it's going to collapse. Sometimes you'll say things that people have never heard before. But I'll tell you, when you preach, thus saith the Lord, I am convinced tonight the Bible said it's not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And I believe when you proclaim, thus saith the Lord, that any bondage that's ever been brought upon you by any spiritual influence or by any circumstance in your life, it is broken by the word of God that comes forth. And tonight, we're going to understand who God is, and we're going to understand who we are in relationship to God if it kills me. And with what I'm feeling, it might. Amen. The Salvation Army was started by General Booth back in the 1800s because he said the word of God says that we are called to be an army for the Lord. We're called to spiritual warfare, and we're called to spiritual battle. And that's very true. And of course, his primary interest was in battling poverty and need and neglect and things like this. And the Salvation Army, I want to put my two cents in here. I think it's one of the best, most wonderful organizations on God's green earth. I think they do a wonderful work. But you know, when we join God's army, listen to me tonight, because I'm going to hit this thing right from the get-go, right from the starting line, okay? We enlist to serve, but we do not enlist to fight. God this evening is neither hurt nor helped when we enlist in his army. Did you hear me now? Tommy, God is not hurt nor is he helped when we enlist in his army. Because when it's all said and done, he's going to win this thing whether we're on his side or we're not on his side. Hallelujah. A lot of people are taught that God is trying, you know, to enlist people in his army to fight with them against the forces of evil. Baloney! God doesn't need your help. Hallelujah! God doesn't need you. He can do that job all the time by himself. God doesn't enlist us in his army so that we can fight. Look what he said to Jehoshaphat and the and Judah and Israel this day through the prophet in our primary text this evening. Look what he said. He said, listen, I want y'all to go to battle tomorrow. I called you to a war. I called you into a place of battle. I want you to rush into the conflict tomorrow. But you know what I want you to do when you get there? Listen now. He said, when you get there, I want you to fix yourself. In other words, find a position and hold it. Hallelujah. He said, and when you get in that position, he said, I want you to stand still, glory to God. Don't move. Stand still, glory to God. When somebody, somewhere, preached this wonderful one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue talking, apostolic message to me, I grabbed hold of it and I set my position, and I'm convinced tonight that I'm going to stand still, glory to God, and the devil will not knock me off my perch. Glory to God. We've got a bunch of wishy-washy people out there in the world today who don't understand. All God requires of you is that you set yourself and you stand still. He just wants you to stay on your feet. Amen. He wants you. As you've heard me say this 101 times, he wants you to keep your faith. The most important thing you'll ever own is your faith. The most important thing you'll ever have is your faith. And what you believe is more important than the fact that you believe at all. There's a lot of people out there,
well, my neighbor is Jehovah. Well, bless God, I mean, at least they believe something. Well, my friend is Mormon, but at least he believes something. My neighbor's Roman Catholic, but at least they believe something. Sweetheart, I've got news for you. You will not stand in the battle if you have not kept yourself. And if you don't know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because the Bible says that a fool builds on sand, but a wise man builds on the rock. And when you're building on the rock of salvation, you're building upon a foundation of 101 proof.
Truth. And the enemy cannot take you down when you're standing on firm ground. Amen. So what you believe tonight is far more important than simply the fact that you believe at all. I want you to know the Hebrew children were leaving Egypt, and Pharaoh was right behind. And in Exodus 14, 10 through 14, the Word of God reads that when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Those fools were happy to be slaves in Egypt. Oh, I tell you, there's a lot of people today that are happy in the place where they're at instead of in the liberty that God has for them. Here, these were a people of promise, that God had promised a land that flows with milk and honey. But they said, no, we'd rather stay in Egypt as slaves than have to go through the wilderness. Sometimes people don't want to have to go through what you got to go through to get where you go. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, fear ye not. Listen to this. Stand still. Do you hear a theme here? Egypt, the Egyptians, the Pharaoh is right behind them. They're at the banks of the Red Sea. And Moses is saying, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I'll tell you, when God wipes out your enemies, they're wiped out. When God wipes out your enemies, they're gone for good. The Bible tells us, verse 14 of Exodus 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. Now, God don't need me to fight in his army. God don't need me to fight in his army. God can fight just well by himself. Glory to God. When we enlist in God's army, we do not enlist to fight for the Lord, listen to me now, but we enlist so that He can fight for us. Hallelujah. Hold your peace, and the Lord will fight for you. Glory to God. When we enlist in God's army, we're signing up with the winning team. We're signing up with the winning side. We don't have to fight this fight. God will fight this fight, and we will stand victorious in the end. Glory to God. Woo! Glory. My Lord, have mercy. Listen to this now. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Remember what Moses told the children of Israel in the wilderness? He said, hold the peace, and the Lord will fight your battle. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, we read, and the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you hear the echo of the voices of the children of Israel in the wilderness crying out to Moses, Moses, is this why you took us out here to die? Here's the Jews again sitting in the boat saying to the Lord, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? I'm convinced today that when the Lord spoke the phrase, peace be still, that the first part of that phrase was meant not for the seas, not for the waters, not for the waves, not for the winds, not for the billows, not for the clouds. It was meant for the fools on the ship who were running around like rats about to drown. He said, peace, hallelujah, hold your peace, be quiet, God can't fight for you as long as you're screaming like a lunatic. And then he spoke to the winds and the waves and said, be still. Glory to God. God cannot do for us tonight supernaturally when we are running around trying to do for ourselves in the carnal, in the natural. We need to quit trying to operate in the natural and just let God operate in the supernatural. There are so many churches tonight that are fighting so many people. They're fighting so many issues. They're fighting so many battles. And they do it in the flesh. They do it in their own carnality. Because if they knew who God was, and if they knew who God's church was, then they would understand that they need to hold their peace, and God will fight their battle. Glory to God. If they understood tonight what they are called to, they are called to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Glory to God. God's people follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. God's people ought to be the most non-confrontational people on the face of this planet. But instead, we're out there fighting battle after battle, claiming this is what God called us to do. Baloney! God called you to get set your place and stand still, glory to God. And if the battle needs to be fought, we'll fight. Woo! Listen to what the word of the Lord says in Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to fight. That ye may be able to wrestle. No, not what I'm saying. That ye may be able to stand. That you may be able to stand that you may be able to stand. What did God say? He said, set your face and stand. Glory to God. God wants his soldiers to arise tonight and stand. Glory to God. Rise up, men of war, and stand. Glory to God. Hold your position. Glory to God. The devil can't get past you if you're filling in the heads. Glory to God. God's people stand. Woo! Hallelujah. I remember a preacher had a vision. One time he was praying. He had bad problems in his church and he needed God to do something bad or else there was going to be some very bad things happen. And he prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally one night he was praying in his office at home. He said a man about 7 foot tall, wearing a robe, appeared. He said he was one of the most beautiful men I've ever seen. He said, just the most gorgeous human beings you've ever looked at. He said, that man appeared in my study, and immediately his big old boxer dog stood up and walked over and started sniffing at him. Yes. And he started sniffing at the angel that he saw him before the preacher hit it. The preacher looked up again and said, I heard my dog sniffing at something. And I looked up and there's this huge man standing there. He said, and the angel said to him, listen, took him a while to get here. He said, every time we need to do something for you guys, he said, it takes a battle in the heavens to get here. There's always going to be a spiritual war that's going on. He said, Tommy, we don't have to fight that. God's fighting that. He's got his angels engaged in that warfare. He said, but we're here now. And that pastor looked at him and said, oh, praise God. He said, please go, do what you got to do. And the angel said, it's done. I've come to tell you, it's done. He said, I don't come to you. Oh, glory. He said, I don't come to you before the fact. I come to you after the fact. He said, I've come to tell you the job is done. Victory is yours. Hallelujah. And the angel took this man and led him to the door of the house. And he opened the door of that man's house. And the pastor was told to look out at his driveway, and when he did, he saw angels lined up on either side of his driveway, shoulder to shoulder. He said they literally created a wall on each side of his driveway. And he said that they were shoulder to shoulder. He said there was nothing going to get past them. He said Sunday morning come, it was time for church. And he comes to church, and there had been so much hurt and so much stuff going on, the devil was just trying to tear up the church. And the pastor said, he got in the pulpit to start the service. But before he could finish, the angels that he had seen in his driveway begin to come through the back door of the church. And they begin to come down the aisles on either side. Oh, hallelujah. And they got on either side of that church and they stood shoulder to shoulder and said, devil, just try to get into this church now. Just try to call some priest in this church now. See if you won't be opposed. See if you'll be able to get through. Children of God's people will do what we're called to do. Instead of bickering and fighting and picking each other apart and judging and criticizing, we be standing shoulder to shoulder in the truth of one God. And Jesus is his name. We be standing together arm in arm in the truth of Jesus' name, baptism for the remission of sin. We be standing together shoulder to shoulder with the truth of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and Acts 2:38 salvation. And instead of fighting and bickering and arguing and complaining and griping and fighting and struggling and we can stand in glory to God, and not a devil in heaven could knock us over. Because when God gives us armor, and we enlist in his army, he assigns us armor. But the Bible says that armor is given to us so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now listen, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. put on the whole armor of God. Haven't you ever wondered why the armor of God is primarily defensive in nature? Amen? He doesn't give us a mace so we can go beat the devil over the head with it. No, he doesn't give us a mace. He doesn't give us a spear. When you read about the armor of God, there's no spear of the Spirit. There's no mace of the Trinity. There's no, you don't get any, you know, there are no defensive weapons except for one, and that is the sword. And each and every piece of that armor comes directly from God. The breastplate of righteousness. Honey, all our righteousness is before the Lord as filthy rags. But God said, that's all right. I don't want yours anyway. I want mine. Hallelujah. Put mine on. Every single piece of that armor comes directly from God. Not one piece originates with us. The only defensive weapon we have is the sword. And in ancient times, the sword was carried for use as a machete, an axe, a knife. It was used for far more than a weapon. It was also used as a tool to help make a way through the thicket and the thorns of the forest, to cut down small trees, to help build the fire, to cut up animals that were killed during hunting for the purpose of eating. God's people tend to use the word of God against people, when in reality it's there to help us make our way through life. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to fight for it. If we're not supposed to fight, then we shouldn't be wielding this to kill people and ruin people and destroy people. We should be using this to chop down trees that get in our way, to clear the thicket that gets in the way. Glory to God. We're not supposed to fight. Bible told us, no, Jehoshaphat, you don't have to fight. God has promised that he would fight for us. Having put on the whole armor of God, what are we expected then to do? To fight? No. To stand. Colossians 3:15-17, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in hymns and songs and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever we do tonight, Mother, we're called upon to do it in the name of the Lord. Sometimes this phrase speaks of literally using the name of the Lord in the action or in the deed, such as the ordinance of baptism, which is both word and deed. But other times, it is applied in a wider application. Let's look at an example for Samuel 17:45-47. David is facing off with old Goliath. Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied us, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Did you hear me? The Lord saveth not. He said, I don't have to come to you with a sword in my hand to win this battle. Because the Lord does not save with sword and spear. Now, for the battle is the Lord. And he will give you into our hands. Goliath saw a small boy named David standing in front of him, But in truth, he was facing the Lord God Jehovah of Israel. David wasn't facing off with Goliath in his own strength or his own authority. No, he was in that valley, face to face with Goliath the giant in the name of the Lord. The world may see you and I today as frail, failing, fragile, and faulty. But God sees us as many Jesuses. That's what Christian means. That's what Christian means. In the Greek, it literally translates many Jesuses. When they begin to call the Christians Christians in the New Testament, what happened was, the New Testament church was so much like Jesus, running around performing miracles and things were happening, that they didn't just call them followers of Jesus anymore. Instead, they began to call them Christians, which meant many Jesuses. These people looked just like him. Well, I tell you, I wish we had Christians in the world today. Be a better world. We got people call themselves Christians, but they act like anything but. Because to really be a Christian, you'd have to act just like Jesus. And I got news for you. Jesus never went around condemning nobody for being homosexual. Jesus never went around condemning nobody for having a drug problem. Jesus never went around condemning anybody for having problems with alcohol. Jesus never went around condemning anybody for anything. Instead of knocking them down, he offered them a lift up. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory. When we come up against the demons, the people in the church, well, I've cast out a number of demons in my day. And you know what, Tommy? When I come up against the demon, and that old demon is this person sitting here on this chair, you're seeing Charles. Everybody in the church is seeing Pastor Morrow. But that demon is seeing Jesus. Because I'm coming against him in the name of the Lord. And when I come against him in the name of the Lord, it's as though he's coming against the Lord himself. And that's why when I command him in the name of Jesus, come out of that person, it has to come. Because Jesus has spoken. Glory to God. God gave his church power and authority to act in his stead, to act with his power and his authority in his absence. He said, all you've got to do is use my name. He says, use my name and my authority, and my power is unleashed in your life. And while the world may see you as a something needs, and I know some look at me that way, probably more than I can imagine, the devil sees me as Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you get some out of this. When we operate in the power and authority of Jesus' name, children, we cannot help but prevail. We cannot help but win. Come on now. Amen. Word of God declares in Joshua 6, nice little shout now, Mom. Don't wait for the victory to come. Shout today because the victory's coming. Amen. God said it. It's assured and true. The Bible declares in Joshua 6, 1 through 5, now Jacob, Jericho, was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. Yes, I'll tell you, the devil's afraid of God's people, but God's people know who they are, and they know how to do what God called them to do, and not a drop more. God didn't call his people in this instance to climb up the walls of Jericho or to bombard it with fireballs. He didn't call them to make spears out of wood and throw them. No, he called them to do this. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. God said, I've given it to you. The walls are still standing, but I've given it to you. And the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. When God gives you victory, he don't give you partial victory, he gives you total victory. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Remember the title of my message tonight, Arise, O Man of War. Amen. He said, go about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn. And when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down. In other words, you ain't shouting because the wall fell. You're shouting because God said the wall's gonna fall. Come on now. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. I'm shouting for this church tonight. Because no matter what I've seen tonight, I know that before it's all said and done, victory shall be ours. Our victory is guaranteed by God's promise, not by our present circumstance. Even though the walls are still standing today, we can rejoice in the victory because God has promised that 7 days from now, they will be coming down. And God's promises are more reliable than the rising of the sun. In the final battle described in the book of Revelation, the word of the Lord tells us, and I'm closing right now tonight, Revelation 17 and verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Ephesians is talking about the battle of Armageddon. It's talking about the end of the end. And it says when all the world under the leadership of the Antichrist is going to gather in opposition to the Lamb of God, glory to God. My Bible says he shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. He doesn't need my help, Tommy. He can do it all by himself. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. He doesn't need me to get the job done. He can do it all by himself. Hallelujah. They that are with him are not called brave. They're not called valiant. They're not spoken of as warriors. No, they are called. They are chosen. And they are faithful. They are people who responded to God's command. Put your armor on. Now set yourself. Get in a position and stay there till you die. And stand still. Don't move. Fill in the hedge and don't let a devil pass you. The most we can ever hope to contribute to God's plan for eternity is that which is offered by cheerleaders at a ball game. We don't cheer him up, but he's the one that's going to win the game. Arise, O men of war, and stand. Stand tall and shout, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And victory today is within your grasp. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? Amen. Praise God. We join God's army not so we can fight for him, but so that he can fight for us. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? I'll tell you, I hope folks that hear and see this message, I hope they get that in their spirit and they understand that. When you join God's army, honey, all you're doing is signing up for benefits. Bless the Lord, David said, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy sins, who healeth all thy diseases, who delivereth thy life from destruction, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. You see, when we sign up for God's army, not so we can fight, and so he can fight first. And he just wants us to hold position. But all I need y'all to do is just form a wall, form a hedge, and stand still. Amen. Master, we love you tonight. We thank you, God, tonight for this message. We thank you, God, for this great word of exhortation that encourages us, Lord, to believe you for great ways, knowing, God, that You have not called us to be combative, but you've not called us to be complacent. You've called us, God, to take a position and to stand in that position and to hold that position and to not let it up, not give it up to any enemy that would come against us. Master, in the name of Jesus tonight, we ask God that you would help this word to find its way into the heart of every one of our friends that might hear this message by tape, that might see it on video. Jesus, today we ask God that you would just allow your spirit to reach out to them at this hour. Touch them, Lord. Help them to realize, God, that you're a generous and benevolent Father. And Lord, you've not called us today to battle and fight. We're not in this thing to battle and fight. No, we're in this thing to stand. So that when the battle's over, the Lord will find us standing. Hallelujah. Not knocked down, not beat up, not unable to stand, but Lord, standing firm in the position and in the place that you put. Master, tonight in Jesus' name, help this word to go home with us, we pray, God, so that we might continue to be blessed and encouraged and strengthened by it. And we ask it in none other than Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name.